morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later in the program, Robert Knott will be here and a couple of other folks telling us about things that are happening this weekend. Right now, I'd like to welcome filmmakers and actors Stephen Rubin and Maura Studi. They are here to talk about the 3-Minute Film Festival. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks.
Oh, thank you.
The 3-Minute Film Festival happening this Saturday night at 7 o'clock at the Lenzic Theater here in Santa Fe. Did this, you are both in films and participated in making several films of this. Did this originate here in Santa Fe?
Yeah, they're called Mission Control now. Jerry Barron, who used to program the old Plan B, and Luke Fitch, started this thing, I think, almost 10 years ago, and used to be at the Screen and other places. So this is the first year it's at the Lenzic, which is awesome. And it's actually, this year, apparently, they got, I don't know, 300 or 400 submissions from around the world.
So is that
not
right?
Just a Santa Fe thing anymore at all.
Yeah, because some of them clearly are from other places. There's an English one, and there's ones in landscapes that I don't know where they are.
Right. And there's a lot of animation, it seems like, which makes sense for 3 minutes, but...
So what is involved in making a 3-minute film? Obviously, you don't need a million-dollar budget.
No.
No, our budget was food, but...
you have to feed your crew, basically?
They'll work real hard if you feed them well. Yeah. We had some great crews that were union guys that are, you know, we caught them right before the Hollywood picture started. So, for them, it's a great opportunity to work on a project where instead of, you know, some Hollywood guy yelling at them, telling them what to do, they can actually... tell us what to do. No, they can help us, you know, creatively, and so it's nice, and got some great actors, but to make a 3-minute film, the script, you have to pack a punch, whether most of ours aren't like the kinds that have punchlines like a joke, but you have to come up with something really.
Well, it is hard to script a narrative film that has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and comes to some sort of denouement or point at the end, which I think is important. And this was my first opportunity to write a script that's 3 minutes long.
Yeah.
And it was quite a challenge, to make sure that you have the whole arc of the story, like, on the second page of the script. Because, basically a film script is a page per minute, give or take.
Right. And you've got 3 pages to work with, essentially.
And if you have three pages and you actually do the 3-act structure, that means each page is one act.
One act, yeah.
Right.
So that was quite a challenge.
It's like there's a genre called sudden fiction, which is fiction, a whole entire short story, which is a page long or less. And it's sort of like that. You have to... You can't have character development. You just have a moment, basically.
Well, the beauty of film, though, is, and this is so interesting, what I found, too, is, film is a visual medium rather than a medium of words, really. So the beauty of that is that you can establish a character just by having a close-up or an establishing shot of them. People suddenly get the idea of who they are without them ever saying a word.
Yeah, you don't have to use all the words like in sudden fiction.
You don't have to describe them.
Right.
Now,
so
I have a little head up because my mentor in college was the king of sudden fiction. He has like several volumes collected on his own.
Who's that?
George Garrett. And he actually, not to brag, but he said that that as a young student or whatever, I was one of the best at that. So maybe that's...
Not to brag.
Not to brag.
But we made... under Stephen's production company, Jules Works, along with Willa Root and Trevor Howe, as the producers, 8 3-minute films, not all of which will be in the 3-minute film festival. We have 3 in there this time.
There was no way, if they showed all 8, then quarter of the program would have been ours, and that's not fair. So.
Well, and the other thing is, Stephen's like Alfred Hitchcock. He's in all of our films, I think.
But actually, the 3 that are showing are not 3 that I directed or even wrote, I don't think. So I guess they didn't like mine, but that's okay.
But it's great. I watched, I think, almost the whole entire reel last night.
Yeah.
I think toward the very end, I kind of slowed down. But, I mean, they must select for variety, among other things.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think one of the, there were 2 that were sort of a given of our 8. which we're calling the Jules Works 8, which you will get to see in Santa Fe at some point, but one was done by Moore and West, and one was done by Gary Farmer, and those are kind of the strongest, probably. Of the third one, I think they picked that one that's done by Lisa Hill because of, like, it was a romance, and maybe they didn't get too many romances or something.
Yeah, romance in 3 minutes.
Yay. Well, that happens.
Especially if Willa Root's involved, right?
Oh, dear.
We're talking about the 3-Minute Film Festival, which is this Saturday night at the Lenzik. I have to say, I mean, okay, they chose these among hundreds and hundreds of submissions. Some of them are great. They're not all good. Some of them are
Some of them are kind of docs, right, that they throw together, you know. And I think, you know, we really crafted them and had this great team that really took it seriously. And I think some of them was just, like, people with a cheap camera that threw up the camera and went to one location. You know, we really...
But that's the beauty of the 3-Minute Film Festival. I know. It's like, you know, if you don't like it, it'll be over really fast, and then you might really love the next one.
Exactly.
You know, so, I've been taking my son, who's now 15, to see the 3-Minute Film Festival for several years, just to get a sense of, you know, that aspect of being able to discern films he likes and he doesn't, because in, what is it, 90 minutes or so?
Yeah, I think there's 30, right? Yeah.
You know, so, you know, they run them back to back, and it's like I said, if you don't like the one you're watching now, you
just
have
close
hope.
Your eyes and
close
think
your
England.
Eyes and wait a few seconds. Yeah.
And very soon, something really good will happen.
But getting back to this thing, okay, so you wrote sudden fiction. You wrote short fiction as an undergraduate.
I did. Yeah.
And what? So that must have been a good preparation for doing short films.
Yeah, it is. As Maura said, it's very different. You know what a lot of people don't understand about movies. And the reason a lot of movies suck, even at the Hollywood level, is because they're dialogue and they're not movies. You know, Ally McGraw and I always talk about a movie needs to move emotionally and cinematically. And people don't get that. And, you know, I anger my friends sometimes because I just have a temper tantrum if they're watching a movie that isn't a movie to me. You know, dialogue is important. The script is where it starts in the story. But you can have 5 minutes go by where a story is being told without anybody saying anything, you know, especially if you have a real good actor.
Right.
And a good camera person and a director, and, you know, every person on the set counts. But
and, you know, for every rule, there's an exception, like some total dialogue. What was that movie? It was in the 80s, My Dinner with Andre.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just a conversation, but people were riveted by that. It sort of caught a moment.
What's his name? The guy who jumped off the bridge a few years ago, Spalding Gray, did great sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they weren't, like, known for their cinema. And some of our great directors really aren't known for their cinema. Like, Kevin Smith cracks people up, but even by his own admission, he's not. He has no idea how to make a movie, he says. You know, and then you've got guys like Stanley Kubrick or whatever that are known for torturing their actors, but are very visual.
I would think that a 3-minute film for young filmmakers, would be kind of a training for making longer films. So one gets the feeling from some of these things that people are kind of trying out their wings.
Particularly if they're the ones that are liked, you know, and they've really crafted a whole story. You know, if it's somebody who threw up a camera, like I said, they're not really going to learn that much. That's fine if they had fun.
Well, they might learn, you know, just by looking at their product and comparing it to other people, what they want to do next time. But the beauty of it is, of course, that film is so expensive, even if, you know, you're doing it on home equipment. I mean, you know, just everything about it is time-consuming. And so, you know, with the three-minute format, it gives you an opportunity to get a finished product and have it seen, you know, within a time frame and a budget that's doable, especially for young people or people
and
who
I
want to experiment.
And I think what audiences won't realize is that ours took a crew of 15 to 20 people, you know, and we had dolly tracks and things. So, you know, it takes a lot more people than just the camera and sound. But one worker who really should be credited, whoever it is, in our case, it was three different people, mostly Luke Fitch and also Justin Golightly and Buril, is the editor, particularly in 3 minutes, is taking all this footage, you know, because we were shooting for at least a day, and handing that editor a lot of footage is crafting the 3 minutes based on what the director and the script say it should be. And I'm sure that's always challenging, but in 3 minutes, it's got to be real challenging.
Yeah, it was quite a challenge for them.
But we also, you know, we have a screening next week at the Delray Festival in Florida. And like I said, they're all going to show sometime this summer somewhere in New Mexico, in Santa Fe. And they're all going to be in their full lengths, you know, whether some range from 4 to 8 minutes. So.
Yeah, we did, like in the Good Night, My Zombie, we did another cut that's 4 minutes long.
So is 3 minutes is the outer limit, I guess. Is that correct? Because some of them seem like they were shorter than that.
Yeah, yes. they just, if they're a second over, Jerry won't show it, but they don't have to be 3 minutes.
Right.
It can't be longer.
But it was an interesting opportunity, too, I have to say, for the film Good Night, My Zombie, that I wrote it, and I'm in it with my son. And but my husband, Wes Studi, directed it. And that was an interesting Wes has directed several films before, but the zombie genre was totally new for him, so.
And I think maybe the three-minute genre was new to him.
Yeah, well, totally. So that was a real challenge and a lot of fun for him, but we had to sit him down and, you know, make him spend a day watching zombie movies to get the genre.
That's very funny.
He got totally into it.
It was fun working with Wes.
Did you watch Shaun of the Dead?
Absolutely.
It was fun watching Wes direct. You know, it was fun working with all these different people, Gary Farmer, but Wes, you know, I could see him measuring it out, you know, like with his hands and his eyes, you know, he was really, he's worked with some of the best current directors.
So.
Right, right.
Well, and he also has this challenge now to write a 3 minute, one take film that works. Whereas
that's a very interesting idea. A 3 minute, so that's even more limitations.
Yes.
No editing.
Which is more challenging. Well, no editing.
And no stopping the camera.
No stopping the camera.
Yeah. You know, and it is true. Especially under the. I hope we'll have a couple of extra days to shoot that one. But these films that we did, because we were doing so many of them, and also the availability of our professional crews, which was a blessing. But we shot each one of these in one day,
yeah.
And that's, you know, being perfectionist filmmakers, really, even a three-minute film, you could easily take a week to shoot it.
Right.
Gary on Powerball made us do a pickup, and it actually was a blessing, because pickup means when you shoot on a different day to reshoot a scene. And it was the last day it snowed here, so it actually was beautiful. But then we had to explain story-wise why it was suddenly snowing, which we did, I think. But
right.
But it made for a beautiful, you know, background.
Do people get discovered when they've made a three-minute film? I mean, is this a genre that...
They can. I mean, the way it works, not necessarily 3 minutes, but with shorts on the festival circuit, is you get a few out there and you get known, and then at some point somebody throws you some money to make your first not-so-high-budgeted feature, and then you build up, which is what our plan is as a company and a team. So, I mean, there is a one-minute film festival somewhere in the country and a 30-second, but, you know, I don't think, yeah.
That's like a commercial.
Yeah,
that's like
that
a commercial.
That is a commercial.
But, you know, shorts on the festival circuit are not limited to 3 minutes. We actually, Maura and I, a few years ago, made one that turned out to be almost 50 minutes, which is barely a short, but, and when all these show is the Jules Works 8, that's going to be 40, 45 minutes, so.
Yeah. But, you know, Steven's developed through Jules' work and everything. He has his production company. He has this really great core, almost like Robert Altman or, you know, an ensemble of actors
right.
that he uses that are all Santa Fe actors.
Yeah.
And so, you know, these are truly Santa Fe-generated films, not necessarily in content, but in the talent available and the, you know, the feeling of the city different, all the wonderful,
yeah.
crazy.
Well, I believe in the troop thing, and when I put myself through my own film school and reading about Altman and some of these others, that they use the same, not just crew, but actors, that's really something that struck me as important and fun. And
right.
it is, because then you get to play, like, I apologize, but I'm in all eight and in all three that are showing, although I'm never the lead. I'll never be a lead. But,
I don't know about that.
But it's fun to play a different part. And I, you know, I'm not sure that in the three that are showing or even all eight that you'd necessarily really know it was me. I really, you know, it was different characters.
Oh, you know it's you.
Well, and you know it's me, but
Stephen Rubin says, oh, look, there he is.
Yeah.
The 3 Minute Film Festival is this Saturday night at the Lenzik, and you can get tickets at the door. Is that right?
Yeah, or you can call the Lenzik in advance.
At night.
And I hear it is actually really well sold. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it going to be sold out?
Well, I think it might be because they used to do it several weekends at the screen and those always sold out. So
now it's only one night.
One night
only.
Only
one chance to see.
And another thing that Jules Works is doing, the 3 Minute Film Festival people give their own awards, but we are with them choosing two awards that will go with us to Del Rey and in however else those films get shown. So lucky filmmakers that aren't part of Jules Works will be showing in Florida next week.
Excellent. So Well, I have to say, some of them were highly enjoyable. Some of them were cringeworthy. Some of them were fun. But it certainly, as you said, it always changes.
Well, three minutes is enough time to run to the restroom.
Mara Studi and Stephen Rubin, thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break right now. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to KSFR. I'd like now to welcome Jeannie Michaela and Lori Romero from Women in Film, New Mexico Women in Film. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi, Mary Charlotte. Nice to be here.
So the first, I love it when they say first annual. It's very hopeful. Athena Awards are coming up on May 17th. That's this Sunday.
It is.
What's the Athena Awards all about?
Well, we sponsored a short screenplay contest for New Mexico residents. The program on Sunday will include readings by professional actors of the three finalists for the Athena Award, and the event is free and open to the public. And for everyone who thought that living in New Mexico meant perpetual flannel and jeans, it is black tie optional.
But it's going to be fun. It's going to be really fun.
Black tie optional means you wear your bolo tie.
Right.
Exactly.
Your black bolo tie. So this is an interesting thing because it's a screenwriting award, but the movie hasn't been made.
That's
so
correct.
So people are going to be reading aloud from their screenplay?
We have a fantastic group of professional actors who will be doing readings of, again, the three finalists along with some other shorts.
And when does the winner get announced?
That night.
Oh, I see. So
the award will be presented.
The three finalists will read and we'll all have suspense and then the winner will be announced.
Exactly. There's also a reception to follow.
So does the winner have any good chance of getting their film made?
Well, you know, there's always a lot of people in the community that come to these things and look for some good scripts and hopefully this is kind of our first run at this, so hopefully, you know, it's going to grow and we're going to be able to add more things later on too.
Mm-hmm. So this is a free event. It's open to the public. It's at Sunday at 6:00 at the James A. Little Theater. It's all women.
Actually, New Mexico Women in Film has many members who are also men.
Uh-huh.
It is the goal of the organization to broaden the opportunities for women in the filmmaking business, but we have many of our fellow men who support us in that.
Yeah. Excellent.
Exactly.
So you are both actors. Jeannie, we've had you on the air before.
Yes.
You're an amazing actor. What have you been up to lately?
Oh, my gosh. organizing the Athena Award.
Right.
I also chair the writers group, so we've been working pretty hard on this lately. And I've also been doing a number of local films and local shorts. I think I've done 3 or 4 in the last couple of months here.
Are you finding that there's work in New Mexico?
There is. Things are just now picking up. You know, it was
a difficult time. Yeah, we're hoping it's going to get much busier.
Yeah, with our union SAG, we do not have a contract right now and haven't had one for almost a year, but it looks like that will finally be resolving shortly.
What about you, Lori?
I'm an actress as well. I act under the name of Lori Tiergrath, and it's been a few things here and there, but we're hoping it's going to get really busy.
So the first annual Athena Awards is this Sunday, 6:00, James A. Little Theater. And there's also something coming up next week. It's a fundraiser for New Mexico Women Film on Saturday, the 23rd of May, at the Lenzig. You want to tell us about it?
Sure, I'd be happy to. We are going to be presenting the film Black and White Night, which is a musical documentary about the legendary Roy Orbison. Excuse me. And we're going to be joined by Barbara Orbison for the screening and for Q&A afterwards. The ticket price is $20. It's at the Lenzic. You can buy tickets through them. And it goes to support our PSA program. The most recent one we made was for the Santa Fe Rape Crisis Center. So we look forward to making another one for a worthy organization in New Mexico.
It's excellent. A great cause, and it should be a wonderful night.
Well, Jeannie Michaela and Lori Romero, thanks so much for being with us, and we'll see you at the James A. Little Theater on Sunday.
Thank you, Mayor Charlotte.
And I'd like now to welcome Ken Knight. Well, Ken Knight is the director of three different choral groups in Santa Fe, and you've got a concert coming up as well.
All three of them have concerts coming up in the next 4 weeks.
Good heavens.
The first one is this Sunday. My women's choir, the Zia Singers, are doing their annual dessert concert at the Elks Lodge. This is a performance of lighter repertoire, pop songs from the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. And the audience sits at little tables and
eats desserts.
Give us an
example of some of the pop songs from those eras.
Embraceable You by George Gershwin. You'd Be Surprised by Irving Berlin. For All We Know by Fred Coots.
What about some of the more recent stuff?
Let It Be, John Lennon.
I was going to say, I bet there's a Beatles song in there.
It's a wonderful program. It's at the Elks Lodge this Sunday evening at 7 o'clock.
Elks known for their acoustics.
And strange deceased animals hung on the walls. There's only one performance, and it's a very popular concert, so it always sells out. So you need to get there early if you want to get a ticket at the door.
And there's a couple more coming up as well?
Yes, 2 weeks after that, the 30th and 31st of May, my chamber orchestra and chorus, Canti Cum Novum, chamber orchestra and chorus, are doing their spring concerts. A wonderful program of seldom performed choral orchestral masterpieces. On this program, there's a Bach cantata, Thou Shepherd of Israel, Hear Us, a brief symphony by Antonio Sarrier, a Spaniard about whom nothing is known except for the fact that he played in the Royal Chapel Orchestra in Madrid around 1750. This is the only piece known to survive him, and the only copy of it turned up, of all places, in Mexico, in the archives of the Conservatory of the Roses in Morelia around 1940.
Amazing. Stuff just turns up. You have no idea who this person is, but it's an amazing, it's a great piece
of music.
As far
as we know, he never made it to the New World, but his symphony did. And it's been recorded, and it's a charming work. Also, a mass by Brahms that was never published in his lifetime. It was known to exist from his letters, but it was considered lost, and it turned up in 1978 in the United States in the course of an estate settlement by some heirs of the choral conductor that he sent the piece to be performed. It was never performed, and they thought it had just vanished and was never going to...
This is Brahms.
Brahms, 1978, 120 years after the piece was written, it finally surfaced, has been published. Brahms considered orchestrating it, and we know that from a letter he wrote to the choral conductor. So I took him at his word, and I have orchestrated it. For my chamber orchestra.
I love this. This is the exact opposite of playing the old chestnuts.
Exactly. And there's also a wonderful Mozart piano concerto on that concert. That's Saturday evening, May 30th, Sunday afternoon, May 31st. Those performances are at First Presbyterian Church. Should I give the phone number to call for tickets?
Sure.
The local number is 438-6581 or 1-800-658-5939. That's the Canti Cum Novum Chamber Orchestra and Chorus. And finally, a month from now, the 13th and 14th of June, my men's chorus is concluding their year-long celebration of their 10th anniversary.
The Men's Camerata.
The Santa Fe Men's Camerata is 10 years old. We're doing a program of our greatest hits, part two. These are songs chosen from our repertoire of over 200 songs that chosen by the singers themselves, their favorites.
And how many people are in this chorus?
32.
So that's a beautiful sound. I've heard them before. When you were at the Scottish Rite Temple.
Yes, it's a great sound. It's a sonority like no other.
Where are you going to be performing this time?
This is also at First Presbyterian Church.
Okay.
And it's a Saturday night, June 13th at 7, Sunday afternoon, June 14th at 4.
So no recently resurrected masterpieces from a trunk?
No, these are wonderful old chestnuts. We have a group of classical stuff from the 16th century, some Glee Club favorites, including Home on the Range, Men of Harlech, The Navy Hymn. We have a group of folk songs and spirituals, This Train is Bound for Glory, Deep River, Hard Times Come Again No More, apt fitting piece for this day and age. We have a group of modern classics, the Randall Thompson Alleluia, a piece by an Albuquerque composer, Bradley Ellingbow, entitled Innisfree.
And lots of other good stuff.
Lots of other good stuff, popular songs, old Whiff and Poof arrangements, etc.
Ken Knight is the director of these three choruses. And if are you reachable, or is there a website or email if people have questions about this?
Absolutely. My phone number is 466-3637. That's 466-3637. Local number.
That's Ken Knight here in the 505 area code. Thank you so much for being with
us. I'll leave you
us.
These flyers. I'll expect to see you at all three concerts, of course.
Well, I will do my very best. Ken, thanks again.
You bet.
We're going to take a break right now. Robert Knott is on deck. Stay tuned to KSFR. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the associate editor of the Pasatiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and he's with us every Friday, speaking of the arts.
Ain't he great? Robert Knott, here he comes. That's
did you
nice,
get a,
thank you.
Did you get a crew cut?
What do you mean? I got a haircut a couple of weeks ago. You didn't notice?
I guess I did, but it's sticking up in this super cute way today.
Well, that's because I've been wearing this ranchero hat to keep the sun out of my eyes, because the top of my
cowboy hat
flew off.
On the top of your Jeep flew off?
I have a soft top on my Wrangler Jeep, and just after those last storms in April, it got battered so badly, and it just flew up.
Oh, my goodness.
So I had to cut it away. So I'm going topless, so I have to wear a hat to keep the sun in my eyes, but I like it. So.
Whatever works.
Thanks, lady. How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good, thank you. Next weekend, we will be talking about the opening of the New Mexico History Museum.
I know. We're going to be talking about that on this program.
Excellent. So but I thought this weekend we would just plug to start off with a few of the museums and art spaces around town that I sometimes overlook and neglect. For example, the Governor's Gallery in the State Capitol on the fourth floor still has the show Canvassing the Neighborhood, New Mexico Artist Views of Neighborhood Life. If you're in the Roundhouse, pop up to the fourth floor. You can look at the artwork. I think they're only open at 5 these days, but I could be wrong. The CCA has Erin Currier's interesting work, Schoolgirls and Schoolboys, Mixed Media. It runs through the end of May over there in 1050 Old Pecos Trail. They also have the permanent installation Hello Weather. That sounds great. I haven't seen it yet. I wonder if it has, like, thermometers and stuff. The Museum of Contemporary Native Arts in Cathedral Place has Young Americans Plus One, a group show of work by Museum of Contemporary Native Arts alumni. That's running through May 24th in the museum store. And the Museum of International Folk Art has Writing with Thread, Traditional Textiles of Southwest Chinese Minorities. More than 500 ensembles and artifacts, reception 5 to 7:30 on Friday. The show runs through mid-August. As you know, most museums, state museums, are free for New Mexico residents on Sundays. Some of them, like the Palace of the Governors and New Mexico Museum of Art downtown, have Friday evenings no charge for everyone, 5 to 8. And there's still the contemporary basket collection from Sarah and David Lieberman over at the New Mexico Museum of Art downtown. So consider going to some museums. It's beautiful weather. Maybe you don't want to, but it's a nice thing to do. And again, Sunday free for New Mexican residents. You got guests in town. Bring them to the museum. Were we supposed to say something about the Santa Fe Art Institute? They're up to semantics again?
I'm sure they are up to semantics. Let me just read one of them that I have right here. Private Collections Art Gallery.
Oh, boy.
Christopher Merlin proudly presents Off the Record painting, and has a picture of a vinyl record here. Painting, sculpture, jewelry, photography, and media with many artists. And this was sent to me by KSFR's own DJ Pablo, who I guess also is an artist. And so this is Friday, the 15th of May. That's today from 6 to 9 at 125 West Water Street here in Santa Fe. And DJ Pablo is going to, Pablo 77, as he calls himself, will be spinning.
Pretty cool.
Spinning tunes.
Hey, what do you think of the Indigo Girls?
I don't have an opinion about the Indigo Girls.
So indifference, but not antagonism.
No, I just don't really know their work.
Okay, that's even better. They play at 7:30 Monday at the Lenzic.
That's great.
If you like them, call the Lenzic.
I'll like them.
9881234.
Really?
If you like them.
No, because
you don't know if you like them.
I don't know if I like them because they came up during the time where I was listening only to Latin music.
Uh huh.
Which was a very long period of my life, and I didn't listen to anything in English, and they're from that period.
Do you go through, like, time periods where you just listen to what kind of music?
That was a pretty long time period. I didn't listen to anything but salsa and Latin for about 15 years.
I've been listening to spaghetti Western music for, like, 2 months. I even have some in my Jeep. It's crazy, all this stuff in the 60s. Maybe that explains the cowboy hat. No wonder I lost my top.
What?
Greater Tuna. Santa Fe Playhouse.
Oh, how is it?
Two-person play. I'm going to go next weekend.
Okay.
It's a two-person play. It's a very funny on the paper about a small-town Texas radio station, one of those crazy things where people change clothes every minute. They run off stage and come back as somebody else, like we used to do with our nephews and nieces. I would do that when they'd, like, believe that it was me. I'd be like, oh, no, I have a twin brother, and then I'd run and put on a fake mustache, and they would believe it. And they were like 22 at the time, so it was embarrassing. I was supportive. Louder Than Words is Moving People Dance Company's student dance group doing concerts this weekend at the Greer Garson Theater on the College of Santa Fe campus. It's not an official college presentation, but it is on the. It's good to know that the Greer Garson's being used. You can get the tickets at the door or at Kicks on Cerritos Road. I'm going to give you a phone number anyway. 438-9180. I think Craig Smith wrote a little mixed media about it in today's Pasatiempo. And it's the first of the, what do you call those studio tours?
Studio tours?
You're not even trying to be. I just set myself up. Yes, it's the first of the usual weekend studio tours around town. The El Dorado Arts and Crafts Association 2009 studio tour is this weekend in El Dorado. 10 to 5 both days, Saturday and Sunday. Head on down to the El Dorado Elementary School where they have a preview gallery. You can get maps. ElDoradoArts.org will tell you everything you want to know about that.
Now, every Friday night from 9 to 11, you can go to Body After Dark for live music and a late-night menu. And as they call it, their only place in Santa Fe for organic nightlife. So this Friday, the this Friday is After Midnight Concert featuring Adrian Bellis, Lisa Carmen, Rick Doran, and John Myers at 9 o'clock. The banding together of four professional Northern New Mexico musicians form a folk jazz quartet. And it's Body, which is at 333 Cordova Road. For more information, bodyofsantafe.com or 986-0362.
You and I should freshen things up by like coming up with ads for these people just for fun. Like that one could be like you speaking in a sultry tone going, Body After Dark. Sultry jazz music at 9 o'clock.
You could. It sounds like you're the man for the job.
Really? I don't mind being
sultry.
You
just did it.
I don't care. Backstreet Bistro. I got to go over there and get a sandwich. I like that place. People, Places of the Heart, paintings by Robert Kenny. Reception tonight, 5 to 7. They're on Camino de los Marques over by Body. Box Gallery has paintings by Kathleen Morris, who used to live in Truches. I think she's on the East Coast now. Reception, 5 to 7. Doug Fairfield wrote about it in today's Pasatiempo. In Art Gallery on Delgado Street has Afterglow. I love that title. Nancy Rayner's paintings runs through May.
Oh, she's a good painter. She was on the show very briefly once.
Yeah. There's no reception, oddly enough, but it does open today. Jenny Cooley Gallery. Jenny, I'm going to come by and see the stuff this weekend. I promise. You've been open for months. I keep saying I'm going to swing by there. Stuff to look at, number 12, Stimulus. That's the name of the show. Mixed media work by David Cudney. Reception 5 p.m. through May. She tells me on the telephone, you've never seen anything like this. It's fantastic. It's monumental. It's felt like I was talking to one of those PR people from the movie studios in the 40s, but I'll go. Maybe she's right.
It sounds like you.
Why, you're right.
This Saturday, the Mambo Room once again.
Listen to you. Spice up your voice.
Ladies,
exactly,
get in free before 10.
This is exactly what I mean. You'd be good at this stuff. Keep going.
Music and dancing start at 9 o'clock. Free dance lesson. Along with the music from 9 to 9:30. So basically, if you go at 9, you can either just go and dance, or you can take the dance lesson at 9:30. All heck breaks loose.
If you know how to dance, is it still fun to take the lesson?
That's a good question. I don't know. I've never gone to take the lesson.
Have you watched? Like, if you really don't know anything about it, could you?
I'm never there that early. What?
You need to help people on the show. You're an expert at this stuff. If a man's afraid to ask you to dance because you're good at it, tell the guy, look, I watched these guys participate for 30 minutes. Then you can be an expert on the class, and you can say 30 minutes, like would 30 minutes of that class make them feel good about dancing?
Yes. All right. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to go with yes.
Okay. That's good.
And that's it. At the Lodge, which is the last, kind of the last thing on your left as you drive north out of Santa Fe, tip, wear white. They want you to wear white this weekend.
What's that about?
I don't know. Maybe it represents purity.
I don't have any white. I like to wear dark colors and green and stuff. Although white would be good in the summer, like white, like Gene Kelly from the early 50s.
I like wearing white, but white is kind of like, I don't know, a conspiracy of the laundry detergent industry.
What are you talking about?
Because every time you wear something white, you have to immediately put it in the wash because it gets dirty. You can never wear something twice. Or if you wear blue jeans, you can wear them for a week.
When I was in Saudi Arabia, I came back with like a pair of those pants bottoms the guys wore, and they were white, and they just had the little tie string, and those were great to wear with nothing else around the house when I was living in Greece. So now that I think about it, that's a good idea. But you're right, I had to wash them a lot.
Yeah.
But I would wear them with a white t-shirt, and that was pretty sexy, if I do say so myself. And I do.
And you do.
I certainly do. Nice over there. What the hell were we talking about?
I don't know.
Ah, here we go. Cadillac Sky, acoustic bluegrass, 7:30 p.m. Saturday, Santa Fe Brewing Company. fireplace, got to pay to get in, call 988-1234. Do you remember that song by Hoagie Carmichael, Buttermilk Sky?
No.
I'm going to look up the lyrics to that and sing that. It was a crazy song. He was on his mule singing it in one movie.
You know what I like is the one Lazy Bones.
Lazy Bones.
Wasn't that Hoagie Carmichael?
That was Hoagie Carmichael. That's pretty good. I owe you a song because I ruined last week.
No, that was great.
No, you weren't happy. That was clear.
Hey, this Sunday at 6 in the evening, Jimmy Johnson from the Israeli Coalition Against Housing Demolitions will be speaking at the Unitarian Congregation here in Santa Fe. I had him on the air the other day, and he has done amazing work and speaks very clearly and succinctly about this whole rather horrifying issue that's going on over in the occupied territories.
Excellent.
Also, he's going to be, I just want to say, for listeners who are closer to Albuquerque, he's going to be at Monday evening in Albuquerque at 7 o'clock at the Peace and Justice Center in Albuquerque, and that's at 202 Harvard Street. Donations requested but not required. And once again, Jimmy Johnson.
Pretty good. Writing Life, Bringing Drama to the Screen and Cinema, is a panel discussion that is free. 5:30 on Saturday at the Scottish Rite Center on Paseo de Peralta and Bishop's Lodge Road. Jason Silverman of CCA is going to moderate it. Murata Mita, Sterling Harjo, and John Sales will be on the panel. I'm going to go.
We had Bird Running Water on the air. It looked like he was very sharp. John Sales, very famous filmmaker.
Yeah.
All these guys are going to be in
That's right. They're part of the Sundance Institute that's coming to town. That's the front page of the New Mexican today, by the way.
So it has something to do with the CCA, but it's at the Scottish Rite Temple, right?
Well, I think Jason Silverman's tied into a lot of different film things, and I tend to forget about that. So I think this is not CCA, but it's just that Jason, who's a film programmer over there, is also tied in with the Sundance.
Yeah, I think they were the ones who told me about
some
it.
Some film festivals, and he's produced films, so he's working on a movie right now, in fact. Artist markets, they're popping up all over. The Santa Fe Artist Market at Behind Site Santa Fe is running again, 9 to 2 Saturday. Santa Fe's Farmers Market going from 7 to noon Saturday. And the Santa Fe Society of Artists Group show. First National Bank downtown, Lincoln Avenue, 9 to 5:30 Saturday. No charge, these things are all free. You can pop in and see them. Sometimes they also have art shows in Cathedral Park, you know. Saturday, also interesting, is Skate Fest. Figure skaters, and what figures, from Arizona, Colorado, Texas, and New Mexico are going to compete. Oddly enough, they're going to start competing at 8 in the morning on a Saturday.
Go figure.
I can't. Oh. I see. Skating around the edges with wisecracks, is you? Pretty good.
I learned everything I know from you, so don't give me a hard time.
Well, I'm trying to teach you some other stuff, and you won't let me get within 2 inches of you for that business. 8 to 12:45 down at the Chavez Community Center, 3221 Rodeo Road. No charge. So, you know, you got nothing to do. The kids are off. They're screaming. Looney Tunes isn't on anymore like it was when we were kids. Bring them over to the Skate Fest. It's free. 424-4986 if you want information. And again, all this stuff, most of this stuff I culled from the Pasta Tiempo calendar put together by Pam Beach. Hey, Pam, and Rob DeWalt. Hello,
yay.
Rob, in the Pasta Tiempo.
Hey, once again, every Saturday in May, Rod Harrison is performing as Lord Buckley
Corazon.
At
Corazon. Go get him.
And that is, what time is that at?
8:30.
It's at 8:30.
I'm either going to go this Saturday or next.
Oh, good. I love that show. I saw that on Valentine's Day when he was up at the Lodge.
Excellent. I love Rod Harrison. He's a really great actor.
He's brilliant.
He's one of the best actors in town.
He really is.
I'm really glad he's doing his own
thing. But he does this Lord Buckley thing in such a way that you're utterly transported to another time and place. And it's a very moving and well-crafted show. It really goes into your heart.
It's excellent. I can't wait to see it. Thanks. Thanks for plugging it. I feel bad that I haven't.
I'll plug it next week, too.
Good.
Next week's still May, right?
Yeah. We'll plug it again, and then we'll plug the New Mexico Museum opening.
Yay.
There's a fabled Japanese launch. You may not have heard about it, but it's a fabled one all the same on Sunday, 2:30, Museum of International Folk Art.
A fabled what?
Japanese lunch.
Lunch?
Lunch at noon to 2:30.
Lunch?
Lunch. There's also a fashion show and music.
Like sushi?
It doesn't have the menu here. You got to call 982-7799 and ask for extension 4.
Hey, you know what we haven't been talking about? Oh, go ahead. Finish that
I'm done with that. What haven't
right.
we been
Lo-
talking
Los
about?
Los Alamos.
Go ahead, start.
Well, that's because it just starts. Los Alamos Summer
Concert
Series.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's go. Let's talk about out-of-town stuff.
That's not that far out of town. a lot of our listeners are driving to Los Alamos right now.
Los Alamos.
They're
okay,
a few minutes late for work.
Go ahead.
Or maybe they're not. So Rod Piazza and the Mighty Flyers from Riverside, California, blues rock and boogie woogie, and that's today. Today's the 15th, right?
Yeah, that's the beginning of the Gordon's Concerts, Overlook Park. They're free Friday nights.
Overlook Park.
Friday
that's in Los
night
Alamos?
Doesn't have to be the loneliest night of the week. Bum, Los Alamos Choral Society's ganging up with the Santa Fe Music Works Singers, 3 o'clock Sunday. They have a big gang fight up there at the First United Methodist Church. No, I'm teasing. They're going to have to do a concert. Students, no charge. Get the tickets at the Hallmark Shop up there on Central Avenue. 662-6501. Do you know a strange thing that happened to me in Los Alamos?
What?
I had to go to a funeral up there, and I didn't know where the church was. So I pulled into this rec center that had a swimming pool. And as I walked up to the door, I was all dressed up for a funeral. And there were three women behind the counter. And don't ask me why I did this, because now I'm already embarrassed. I shouldn't tell you the rest of the story.
Go ahead.
I said, do you have nude swimming here? And the women all, like, blushed. There's what? I said, you know, nude swimming. I said, I don't have a swimsuit. I'd like to go for a swim. And they were like, well, that'd be, I mean, there's different genders here. I said, well, you could set aside one night for guys and one night for girls. That's fine. And one of the women looked at the others and said, you know, he's right. He's got a good idea. Nonetheless, I left there feeling totally embarrassed, got back in the car, and I still don't know where the church was. I was late for the funeral. Nobody was nude. Why did I tell that story, you wonder? Let's get back to the Posse Tempo.
Okay, the Wheelwright Museum.
I thought it was a good story.
Tomorrow and Sunday, Creatures of the Earth and Sea, a sale of exhibition of new jewelry by Native American artist Liz Wallace at the Case Trading Post. And she will give a talk about her work on Sunday at 2 o'clock. It's free admission.
Cool. Hartwood Museum up in Taos. Dennis Hopper's photo show curated, Harper at the Harwood, in celebration with 40 years of the Summer of Love up in Taos, 40 years of the movie Easy Rider, which he directed and co-wrote. Next Friday in Paso Tiempo, Doug Fairfield has a review of the show. He went up to see it this week, and I'm going to go up there and take a look. The show runs through mid-September at the Harwood on Ledoux Street, and no charge for New Mexico residents on Sundays. Also, I heard the Embudo Station reopened.
I heard that, too.
And
Puyehue Cliffs reopened.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Meanwhile, the Chimayo Museum's open. Exhibit about Chimayo's history and culture. It's a great little museum on the Plaza del Cerro, Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 3. And in Cerrillos, you can take the Placer, P-L-A-C-E-R.
Placer, yeah.
Thank you. Placer Peak Hike, 8:30 on Saturday morning, if you like.
Or Placer.
Placer. ¿Qué es Placer?
Pleasure.
Oh, sí, por supuesto. Lo siento. Yeah, placer. Okay, so you can go up Pleasure Peak. Down the Pleasure Peak Park. Remember that Palisades Park song? That was a good one.
Yes, I do. I'm embarrassed to say.
Doesn't say what day. Paso Tiempo. Okay, call 471-9103. We'll fix that. It's the Santa Fe Botanical Garden is hosting it, so give them a ring. Meanwhile, did you know Algodonus has a stone sculpture garden and gallery on the frontage road right off the I-25?
Algodonus?
Yeah. That's the only place I ever ran out of gas in New Mexico. I was coming back from the dog track in El Paso. This is in 1992 in my old car. And I only had $3 left because it was a bad day at the track. The dogs double-crossed me. Usually they would wink at me to let me know if they were going to win. But I was also hungover because the night before this guy took me to the Prince Muck of the Alleys, which was a strip joint, which I didn't know about. But anyway, so the next day I went to the dog park and I lost all my money but $3. And it was a Sunday, and I didn't have an ATM card.
Is any of this true?
Yes. And I ran out of gas in Algodonas on a Sunday afternoon at 10 minutes to 1 in the days before the casinos. And I coasted right into town. And at that time, they had a little gas station, post office, and general store. And I said to the guy, oh, I have $3.
Okay.
In those days, you could get a gallon of gas for like a buck. He said, well, you can get 3 gallons then. He goes, and you're lucky you got here. We close at 1 o'clock. You would have been stuck here all night. I haven't been back there since. What do you make of that?
Is that a trick question?
No, what time is it?
It is 8:55.
Okay. I'm going to be leaving you a minute or two sooner. I hope you will forgive me.
I
love doing
not
your
forgive
show.
You.
There are many good things in the Paso Tiempo. Bob Schneider's playing at the Santa Fe Brewing Company on Sunday. Don't forget that there's going to be the Skate Fest. We talked about that. There's a lot of gallery openings. Check the Paso Tiempo for information. And there's also the TGIF organ recital with Linda Rainey at the First Presbyterian Church tonight, 5:30. Donations accepted. And Santa Fe Prep's doing Once Upon a Mattress, the little cute comedy about a princess and a mattress, 7:30 tonight.
That's a cute, very old, cute musical.
Yeah, and there's also Linda Durham's having an opening, Painterly Architectonics, Sunday, 5 to 7. Pick up the Pasatiempo, it's a great magazine, I'm very proud to be part of it.
Well, I'm proud of you because it is a great magazine, and you're a wonderful writer, actor, playwright, man about town, mentor, radio announcer.
What else?
That's about it.
I figured as much. I'm going to get out of a place with you at second place. A pleasure, lady. Thanks.
It's been a pleasure to have you.
And I'm sorry about all the side stories, but that is true. I got to go back to that racetrack. I'll fix those dogs. I haven't betted at a racetrack since then. Algodones, that's where I got lost. I mean, out of gas.
Well, listen, we got a couple of minutes left.
You can save
for one more minute. I will see you next week, and perhaps not the week after. I'm going to be turning over the show for a number of Fridays to the wonderful Bill Hutchison. Oh, I want to say, if people would like to, I was talking to a listener the other day who said that she had a whole bunch of towels and blankets that she wanted to donate to the animal shelter, and she wanted to bring them to me here at the Santa Fe Baking Company. I said, bring them on Friday morning at 9 a.m. And she said, I want to bring them to you because if I go up to the animal shelter, I know I'm going to adopt some animals, and I don't have room for any more animals.
Well, they could bring them to Bill while he's here in the weeks that he's hosting for you, which is
starting. But you can also
weeks.
Bring them to me, and I will get them to the animal shelter. Yeah. But they're always looking for food. They're looking for towels, blankets, and all sorts of things. Hey, Robert Knott, I know you're out of here. Have a great day.
And Cricket Whipple wants her gift certificate. She gave money. I ran into the doctor. Okay, well, goodbye.
Okay.
Bye,
Robert. Bye, hasta la vista. And so once again, if you want to make any donations to the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and you don't want to go all the way out there, you can drop them off on Friday mornings here at 9 o'clock at the Santa Fe Baking Company. And you can also adopt your little doggies and kitties and bunnies and all sorts of animals. I think it's mostly those, but there's probably others too, at the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. And you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thanks to Marilyn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, jazz a la carta. Broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, my name is Mary Charlotte. We will see you on Monday. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you at the 3-Minute Film Festival. We'll see you at all these incredible events.